Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Here we are at Georgia Tech. It's a glorious day. Going to do what we always do, and hopefully along the way you will be encouraged to do the same thing, and that is find yourself a fishing hole. Find yourself a ministry. And I would even dare to say maybe it doesn't even need to be this overt, if you will. Walking out and talking to strangers. Okay, I understand you're not ready for that, but figure out what you are ready for. By the way, I'm not ready for it either, just so you know. If you think that walking out here and doing this is like, well, Friel just seems to be able to do it, no problem. It is a problem. It's hard. You just don't know what you're going to run into or who you're going to run into. And you can get shut down. And isn't it amazing? How many times have I been shut down? Plenty. And yet, it's still, there's something about it that just makes you kind of, which is why I think Paul, on at least two occasions that I can think of in his epistles, which means I can't remember which book it is, asked for courage so that he would speak as he ought. It was scary for him sometimes to do it. I mean, way more scary for him than for us. We typically don't get beat up, shipwrecked, stoned to death like he did. So he had a whole lot more to lose than we do, frankly, because at least so far in this country, we can get away with this. But he needed courage to do that. Timothy needed courage to do that. I think 2 Timothy, that pretty much was the major theme there, writing to that young man because he was lacking some courage. He was young and he was scared of what was going to happen to him if he preached the gospel. And so Paul had to write to that young man to encourage him. So here's what you got. You've got Timothy, who was scared, who needed encouraging. And Paul, who, it would appear, was scared, and he too needed prayers for encouragement. So you've got one scared guy encouraging another scared guy. That's why we've got to do that for each other. We've got to encourage each other. And I would also suggest sometimes going out in twos is a very good thing. Because when you're, sometimes a little shove is all you need. And the other person can provide that for you. So find your fishing hole. Doesn't need to be Georgia Tech, but maybe it's your Starbucks, or it is your local IHOP, or whatever. In fact, maybe you just want to start with one person. So right now, think about your town. What's the scenario? What's the setup? Where could you go so that you could witness to just one? And maybe it even gets spread out over a month. Start there. And that is a great start. You don't need to start doing my thing. You need to start doing your thing. Wow. There must be a lot of visitors coming to the campus or on the campus. I think I've witnessed that kid too. How's about that? Because there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of chalk art going on. Maybe it's because the rain is finally... Did you like the chalkings? Check out our other events on campus and off camps. And then they give the website. Well, what is going... And then there's a big bumblebee. They've got chalk art all over, and there must be something going on for some reason. Alrighty, so here we are at Georgia Tech. Hopefully, you'll find your place to go, and you'll get doing something. Okay, let's see if we can... Alright, here's... I'm sorry, what I liked... What? You know what? If you'll tell me that on the radio, what do you want me to donate to? African refugees?
Well, African refugees, meaning we are... Well, one of our teammates, clubmates, actually opened up a... who went to Kenya to volunteer. And he was working with them, providing them... gave them some aid and stuff like that.
Okay.
And realized that aid's not enough. So he started to... he opened up a sustainability project where he's trying to open up a mill in that refugee camp in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we are collecting donations to, you know, help provide to build that mill and help them be sustainable.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. So instead of just giving a handout, you give a hand up, right?
Sure, yeah.
But, a little cliche, but it kind of works, huh?
Okay.
right?
Yeah.
Because if you just give somebody money, it doesn't help them get to work and stuff.
Well,
he just asked me, and you got one in Brazil going on too. Okay, I'll think about giving if you can answer a question for me. Ready? Why should I care about those people in Kenya? Oh, you're going to answer it?
Yeah, I started the project.
So. Oh, you started it? Oh, yeah, good for you. Okay, okay. Tell me, why should I care?
Okay, well, the people in the U.S., we have opportunity that we can, you know, if there's a certain desire that we have to pursue a dream, an educational dream, let's say coming to school, college or high school, in Kenya, okay, they are in impoverished conditions where they cannot just actively pursue any of our dreams, let's say. And so they are running for their life after the 2007-2008 election violence that occurred that formed these camps that we are raising money for. And so, you know, they were worried about, you know, losing their life because they're in the opposite tribe. So they can't pursue, you know, the things that
okay,
we don't have.
All good stuff. I want you to back up for me, though. This is kind of a philosophical question.
Okay.
All that's good. We see other human beings suffering. They don't have any opportunities. We'd like to see them have those chances so that they can have a better quality of life.
Yeah.
And we care. But why? Why should I care about those people?
I think we have a responsibility as members of this world that just as we have a responsibility as, you know, our family or friends or anything like that, when we see them struggling, you know, in horrible conditions.
How come? Why do I have a responsibility to a complete stranger 5,000 miles away from me?
Well, I think as people of this universe, I think we should help each other. And when someone else is down and, you know, in a worse off position than you, that you've been given such great opportunity, I think it's great to give back to others who may not have had that opportunity.
Okay, I'm an evolutionist. Okay, here's how I see it. Okay. Bummer for them. They're gonna struggle, but this is about survival of the fittest anyway. So I'm fit. I don't care about them. What would you say to that?
I would say that, you know, you're on your own there. I mean, if...
Meaning?
If you don't care about other people who you just care about yourself, well, there's nothing I can tell you to, you know, want to do anything up for them. Because
Is there something wrong with my logic? As an evolutionist, somebody who believes in natural selection, survival of the fittest, isn't it consistent of me to say, I don't care about anybody but me?
Hold on.
Ponder that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, young man.
The basis of natural selection is a...
Wow, do your teeth annoy me. They are so white and perfect. How do you make that happen?
No,
honestly, that's annoying. They're like a spotlight. Honestly.
No, I mean...
Well done. Okay, go ahead, dude. So what's the...
Well, I mean, since you're talking about natural selection is selection that occurs due to maybe genetics, you know, and it happens on a level that is uncontrollable, you're right. But the fact is, when it comes to natural selection in terms of human population dynamics, we're not doing any form of selection when we just allow them to exist like that. If selection is already ongoing, and regardless of in what condition they are, you know, the differences between us is already evident. And the fact is, just because we believe in natural selection doesn't mean we can use that as an excuse to not.
Why not?
Well,
okay, for instance, you said the selection has been made.
Right.
Okay, the selection's been made.
Well, selection's already occurring, been made.
Okay, so.
And it's in terms of genetics,
chance.
Not about, you know, not.
Well, it's
in
also
terms
position.
Of,
there they are.
Okay, sure, yeah.
They've got less. Why do I care? Why should I monkey around with natural selection?
Well, you're not monkeying around with natural selection. I mean, what I'm trying to point out is that by helping them out, you're not changing anything about natural selection. You're
sure
just,
I am.
You know, you're just allowing them to exist in a world that will allow them, you know, to survive.
I'm actually helping them compete against me. I want to make sure I can
survive. But you said it yourself, sir, that they are 5,000 miles away. They have no chance of competing against you.
Sure,
and
they do.
Even if they come, even if you help them out. Yeah, so exactly. That's the reason why we help them, because it's that global economy that we want to not, you know, not make them not just compete with us, but help them sustain. Because at this point, they're not at a level that they will be ready to compete with us. They don't have food. They don't have clothes. They don't have areas to live in. And what we're trying to do is not make them, you know, not...
So you want me to be compassionate?
Well, yeah. Basically, that's our project. And that is one of the essential points that we...
I think what I've heard you say is I should be compassionate, because if I help somebody 5,000 miles away...
Uh-huh.
it might affect the global economy and affect me in a positive way.
Well, what I meant to say was that...
That's very true.
It could happen.
So I'm sort of playing kind of an international gamble. Give a little something to them, and maybe it'll come back to me, and somebody will be nice to me someday.
Could happen. I mean, you could have cheaper products that promoting agriculture or different industries in these African countries.
So for selfish reasons, I should help.
You could for that.
All right. Okay.
I mean, indirectly, you know, promoting business and, you know, what we're doing is, you know, helping other people. The Vermilion Mill Project is helping people get back to...
All right, because we got to scoot. Tell everybody, do you have a website? Here it is, right here.
Yeah.
Geosites.com/...
Don't worry about it. It's gtsmrc.com.
gtsmrc.com.
Right.
All right, and people can look it up if they want to. Gentlemen, I appreciate the chat. Thank you very much. All right. All righty. There you go. I should be compassionate because I'm selfish. Uh-huh. That's moralism right there. And without Christianity, without responding to God's kindness to us, I have no reason but selfishness to get involved in any program like that. Whether it's PBS, whether it's a cancer drive, whether it's feeding the hungry, it's mere moralism. It's Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Well, after the goofy 2020 we've experienced, we all deserve something merry and bright, and Wretched is stepping up to the plate with our annual Wretched Christmas Sale happening now through the end of the year. Most items are one-third off, plus all orders of $40 or more will receive a free copy. That means you don't have to pay for it. A free copy of Untethered, which features John MacArthur, Steve Lawson, Ray Comfort, and many more, but only when you use the promo code Christmas. So listen, don't settle for matching Christmas pajamas this year. Nobody wants those anyway. Or the same old necktie for dad or dish towels for mom. Get them something they'll love and be challenged by. Trust me when I tell you this, nothing you can buy says I love you more than a gift that grows their theology. Head on over to the Wretched store right now and take advantage of the annual Wretched Christmas sale happening now through December 31st. All of the savings, deals, and details can be found right now at wretched.org/store. That's wretched.org/store.
Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministries. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for deciding to join us today on Wretched Radio. We're certainly appreciative of you, and we appreciate your time, and do not take it for granted. We'd also like for you to take some time and check out Wretched TV, a daily 30-minute program with host Todd. Wretched TV contains live witnessing encounters and discussions of tough theological issues and various topics in the Christian community. You can find those full-length Wretched TV episodes available right now at wretched.org/TV. Wretched TV is also available on Roku, Amazon Prime, Truly, and Amazon Fire TV Stick. And it's only because of our gospel partners that we can make Wretched TV available to everyone. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Help us to continue making Wretched available to everyone. Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. You can give online at wretched.org or text the word Wretched to 44321. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is poetry. Poetry relies on imaginative and figurative language to expand on a theme, examine emotions, and reflect on who God is and what He has done. God's timeless truth is written down by biographers and artists alike. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. It's Witness Wednesday at the campus of Georgia Tech. Kids everywhere, and I'm wondering, I don't know the statistic, I'm not George Barna. I wonder how many kids thanked God today for their education. I wonder, as I walk by the student union here, I wonder how many of the kids who are noshing down on a sandwich or a salad with special green nuts. Everything is green these days. Oh, you got to hear this. You'll love this. We're driving in, doing the carpool, listening to NPR, and they're doing their little fundy-thon still asking for money, although I thought they were supported by you and me already anyway. At any rate, the announcer said, and don't forget, you can now give green by giving online. Yeah, that's green, all right, because making those computers in Silicon Valley, I'm sure that's completely green, not to mention the electricity that it takes. I'm sure it's completely green giving online. Oh, what a deceptive movement the green movement is, isn't it? We are here at Georgia Tech, gonna talk to the kids and witness to the kids. And incidentally, if you would listen to that little chat that we had with those two guys who are trying to raise money to help people out in Africa, which I think is a wonderful thing, but I think it's a wonderful thing only if you're a Christian, because without a transcendent purpose, in a response to a gracious God, giving to somebody in Africa is anti-natural selection, it's anti-evolutionary, it is not in my benefit at all. I should be saving up my shekels, hoarding them. In fact, frankly, if they would die, that would be better for me if I were an atheist. But these people, by simply being out here, doing good works, anytime there's an atheist organization doing something good, assuming, of course, they're not just in it for the cash and they're devious, anytime that a non-Christian organization is doing something, they have, first of all, no reason that they can give to people to give. Second of all, they have simply become a moralistic outfit. All they're doing is telling you you should do this or pulling on your heartstrings to do this, and they've got no reason for us to do that without Christianity. Once again, the only worldview that makes sense completely when you try to put all of your philosophies together is Christianity. All right, enough of that. I'm here at Georgia Tech. So I'm going to walk up to a guy who appears to be eating a slice of pizza. Now, I am not sure that he bowed his head and said a prayer, giving thanks to God. How patient is God? All of the classes are on here that are being taken. Wait a second, I'm going to get sidetracked. All the classes are on here that are being taken. Does anybody say thanks for the food? Oh, the patience he has and had with me. Hey, young man, you look like you're having kind of a lazy stroll. Can I talk to you on the radio on your way to wherever you're going?
Sure.
Cool. What's your first name?
Kevin.
Kevin, it's nice to meet you. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Management.
Management. Who do you want to manage?
It's not so much management, but more like finance is what I got a concentration in, so something in finance.
So you're a numbers cruncher.
Yeah, I guess I kind of like look at like the market and stuff. Not so much the analytics part of it, I guess.
You want to be an investor?
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. So you're a capitalist, is what you are.
Yeah.
Really? Where do you get that worldview?
I don't know. I guess kind of just you work hard and
think
make
it's
more
better
money
than socialism.
Yes.
How come?
If you work hard and make as much money as you can, you get to keep it.
Yeah. What do you want to do with that money when you make it? What are you going to do with it? What's the Kevin plan?
I don't know. Just keep making more and...
For what end?
For what end? I don't know.
Just enjoy life?
Yeah, a good life and...
You're an Epicurean then.
I mean, if I've got extra, you can give it, charities and give it to other people who need it.
What charity would you give it to?
I don't really have one in mind, I guess. One comes along, that's good.
Okay, did you see that group right there? They're trying to start up wells in Africa and Brazil and do nice things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I asked them the same question. I'll ask you that question. Why would you care about people, and why would you want to give some of your hard-earned money away to people you don't know?
Well, I mean, if they're struggling and they can't make money for themselves, and if I'm in the position to where I can help them, I would want to help them. I wouldn't want to... Just because I don't know them doesn't mean I want to not help them.
But why do you want to help them? Where does that altruistic, compassionate feeling come from?
I don't know. I guess maybe just the way I was raised, just trying...
How were you raised?
Help people if you can.
Yeah? Why? Were you a religious home?
Yeah. I grew up a Catholic.
A Catholic. Are you a Catholic today?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still Catholic. I mean, I don't go to church as much as I should, but...
How much should you go to church?
You're supposed to go. You know, they say you go every Sunday, and so, you know, I don't get there as much as I should.
Mm-hmm. I
still pray and still follow the general guidelines, I guess.
The Ten Commandments?
Yeah, try to.
Yeah? How you doing?
I'm all right.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you told any lies this week?
Yeah, probably.
Uh-oh.
But you can always go confession, so...
All right, hold on. Before we get to confession... Okay, so you've told lies this week. Have you stolen anything this week?
No, I don't think I've stolen anything.
Has God been first in your life all week?
Not so much. Probably not.
All right, get ready. This is going to get a little trickier. How's the adultery doing?
Oh, it's good.
Looking with lust?
All right.
No first. Any murder?
No, I haven't murdered anybody.
Have you been angry at anybody?
Yeah, I'm sure I've been probably... At one point today, or this week.
Just today.
Not today, I was just...
But it's early today, so there's time to get angry. Okay. So, dude, you've broken all the commandments that I mentioned. You're not doing good at all.
I guess not if you look at it like that.
Uh-huh. How should I look at it?
I guess you're looking at it good. Okay. I guess I'm skewed a little bit.
Okay, so as a Catholic, you're breaking all those commandments. So if you died, what's going to happen to you? How is God going to judge Kevin?
I hope kindly.
Yeah?
Nicely.
Yeah? What do you think he should do? If you've broken all the laws just today, even the murder business...
Hopefully, I mean, he wouldn't be... They're not too big a deal, or it's not, like, terrible. I haven't murdered anybody, so...
Okay, right now, we're walking up these stairs. You trip, you hit your head against the concrete, you're done. You're dead. What do you think? Heaven or hell for you, Kevin?
Well, hopefully not hell. Hopefully he can let me repent and, I guess, what is purgatory?
Uh-huh. Let's say there is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell. It's an either-or deal. Good place, bad place. Reward, punishment.
Reward?
You think so?
Yeah, hopefully. What radio station is this for?
Suddenly this got a little bit more intense, did it?
Yeah.
It's called Wretched Radio.
Okay.
Ah. Why do you say ah?
Oh, it's Wretched Radio. I guess it's kind of...
Telling?
Yeah.
Do you think you're wretched?
From your point of view, probably.
No. Not my point. I'm not your judge. I'm trying to judge you. No. From the Bible point of view, what do you think?
I've started thinking about, though, you got two ways of looking at the Bible, where you got the literal, where a lot of people look at it literally, and other people, I guess, try and use it as... The whole parables that Jesus used.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you look at it literally, it's pretty rough.
Meaning?
Where, like you were saying, you know, when you're saying you steal anything or you're angry at somebody, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
All that stuff, I mean, it's pretty intense.
Yeah, it is. Especially like the lusting, the thought life.
Yeah.
What's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah.
It's intense. You're right. I agree with you. So, if God is a just judge... And he does it by the letter. You die. What should he do with you?
I guess if it literally like the old school testament, I guess you're going to hell.
Yeah.
But hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, they say that he's forgiving and he loves everybody. So.
I'm going to be a little sarcastic here. So hang in there with me, okay?
We should probably get in that.
Yeah. So we don't get killed.
Yeah,
especially in the middle of this conversation, it's not good at all.
No.
Okay. Here's I'm going to be sarcastic, so don't get mad at me, okay?
No.
Here's what I think you just said, Kevin. I think you just said that you really like Jell-O pudding, especially the chocolate with the vanilla mixed in. Not so much the tapioca pudding. That's what I think you just said.
Okay.
Because I don't take you literally.
Okay.
You're going. What are you talking about? You understood exactly what I was saying to you, pal, because that's what I meant to say. Same thing is true with the Bible.
Yeah.
It just says what it says, and that's the way we understand it. Just like you and I are talking, and we understand what we're talking about, you can't take statements in the Bible like God being the just judge of all the world and say, well, it doesn't really mean that, because it just does.
Mm-hmm.
It's just straightforward. This is what God thinks. All right, so Kevin, tell me. I don't know, when was the last time you went to like an Easter service?
Last Easter. Whenever I'm with my family, usually when I end up going to church.
Sure. Okay, let me ask you, when was the last time you read your Bible by yourself?
High school.
Wow.
Yeah, probably.
And how many years have you been here at Georgia Tech?
Four.
So it's been four years since you've read the Bible? Really?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, again, I'm not your judge.
Oh, yeah.
But if I were just looking at that and going, a guy who says that he's a Christian, hasn't read his manual for 4 years, wow, that'd be, I'd be dubious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah. If I asked you, is God the number one affection in your life, how would you answer?
Right now, I mean, I wouldn't want to say, but I'd probably just say no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie about it, so.
No. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Sit tight for it. Where, I mean, how far are you?
Eventually, I would eventually like to get to the back to the point where he would be. I guess I'm kind of
busy.
Stumbling. Busy.
Yeah. Getting involved in stuff. All right. How far are you walking?
Pretty much here.
Right. All right. Hold on 1 second. We'll finish this up, but I got to do the commercial deal. All right. We'll be back in just a second with Kevin. We are. Oh wow, we're at the stadium. Is that where we're going?
Yes.
Are you an athlete?
Yes.
What do you do?
Football.
You're. What position do you play?
I'm a punter.
You're a punter.
Yeah.
Because, dude, I think I might have more meat on my bones than you.
Good, yeah.
All right. Back in a moment on Wretched Radio.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nyssa was an opponent of Arianism at the Council of Constantinople in 381. He wrote a book called Not Three Gods, explaining that there is one God in three persons. Each member of the Trinity is fully God with all the divine attributes, yet each member of the Trinity is a distinct person. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are, where is this, dude? Callaway Plaza?
Yes.
Is that the big football stadium? How many does this bad boy seat?
I think the attendance is like 55.
And you've played in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. All right, we're at Georgia Tech. We're in front of the football stadium. I'm talking to Kevin. Turns out you're the punter, right, dude?
Mm-hmm.
All right, before we get back to our you're going to hell conversation, I'm guessing as a punter, all right, you've got your primary job of making sure the ball gets to the right place, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your secondary job?
Covering
you have one?
The kick, covering it, tell them down, make a tackle.
So you are responsible to still chase after the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been hurt?
No.
Really? Okay. How flexible are you?
Pretty flexible.
So you like your head over your foot over your head type of flexible,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the number one injury for a punter?
Probably like a hip or a groin.
You'd pull something out of whack.
Yeah, or your hamstring.
Do you think you're going to be a pro?
No, probably not.
No?
No.
How far can you kick it?
45, 50 yards.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's about 45 or 50 yards further than I can.
Yeah.
All right, one tip for every kid who's listening who wants to punt the ball further. What's the tip?
Focus on your drop.
I don't know what that means.
It's all about they'll know. It's all about your drop. Just got to get your drop flat. And
get your drop flat, which is when you release the ball from your hand to your foot.
Yeah.
And you kick it on the outside of your foot, don't you?
Yes. Well, it's not so much the outside. It kind of comes across. The ball ends up laying across your foot. It's kind of like the ball is diagonal when you drop it. So,
all right. I don't know what that means, but I'll trust you.
Yeah.
And that's going to help them. It's all in the drop.
It's all in the drop.
But isn't it also in, like, the weight moving forward? Isn't that the important part?
When you're moving forward, but then when you're kind of kicking and kind of transferring, you go up as opposed to going forward. It helps the ball arc up.
That's more important. Okay, so not to get all mathematical, but between up and in, what's the angle that you're going for?
Ooh, I don't know. People get real technical with angles and stuff like that. I don't really.
Because in tennis,
they say the 45 degree angle is where you get your best.
Because it's the weight that helps it a lot.
The physics of it,
right? Isn't it is it more the weight or your leg strength that gets the ball down the field?
I say leg speed. How fast your leg's moving.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty. Okay. Cool. Very cool. Thanks for the lesson.
Yeah, no
All right,
problem.
Dude. So back to the dealy, Bob, and your situation, just like everybody else's who's broken the laws. If we died, and God judged us, and He gave us what we deserved, we'd be in real hot water.
Probably.
Right? Probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, what did God do so you don't have to go to hell?
Died on the cross. Sent us down
huge.
Here.
That's huge. That's huge. That's the answer right there. Mm-hmm. That's the solution to our problem. We aren't reconciled to God, and so that God could satisfy His wrath and His justice, He poured it out on His Son.
Mm-hmm.
Your badness put on His innocent Son, and then His goodness can be given to you, so that you can be judged by God as being perfect, not because you are, but because Jesus was perfect on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
That's the gospel. The good news of the gospel. right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so here's the question, and this is the biggie. And you're how old? 22?
Yeah, 22, 23.
22, 23. This is the biggie, because you're at that stage in life, you're a young man and you're figuring this stuff out, and how do you go from believing what your parents taught you to believe and going to church and just going through the rituals and actually believing it and why you should believe it?
Mm-hmm.
How do you become a Christian? Okay, so if Jesus died so that you can have forgiveness and be reconciled to an angry God who loves you, what do you need to do in response to the good news of the gospel? Do you know? This is important.
I don't know. What?
Have you ever heard the word repent?
Yes. Yeah.
What does it mean, Kevin?
Sorry for your sins.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And turning from your sins.
Right. Yeah.
Right? So turning from them, not that you become perfect, because we don't, but you have a new attitude. You turn from your sins, you're sorry for your sins, you go the opposite direction from your sins, and you put your trust in Jesus Christ. It's not just acknowledging all this stuff, but actually trusting Him like you trust a parachute. If you had to jump out of an airplane, it's not enough to just say, well, I believe in the parachute. You got to put it on. The Bible says you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. It's more than just assent or sort of an effort when you're ready for it or convenient. Humbling yourself, turning from your sins, telling God you're sorry, and putting your trust in Jesus. The Bible says if you do that, all of your sins, past, present, and future, completely forgiven, gone. Adopted as a son of God, and He brings you to heaven not because you've been more good than bad, but because you've been really, really bad, but forgiven by a really good God because of what Jesus did. Mm-hmm. It's repentance and faith.
Right.
Jesus called it being born again.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been born again?
No, I guess not.
So Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not born again, you won't see the kingdom of God.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
Right. Dude, I know you're going to football practice, but maybe something to think about today.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And by the way, just so you know, it's not about confessing your sins to a man in a box. Okay? Jesus died so you could talk to God directly, yourself.
Yeah.
You can get down on your knees before God and tell Him you're sorry yourself. And turn from your sins and put your trust in Him. He will hear you if you call out to Him with a humble heart. No excuses. Come in clean. Saying you're sorry and putting your trust in His Son. And Kevin, the difference is you'll want to read His Word. Here's what will happen. You'll either maybe have some sort of religious experience, and you probably will sometime in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You'll go to a crusade, or you'll hear something on the radio or some sermon. But if you don't start acting differently, not to earn your way to heaven, but because God has changed you, then all you probably had was a religious experience. Your friends are going to go, what's gotten into you, dude? You're different. Your priorities are different. What changed? What happened? That'll be a sign, and your affections will change. It's not just keeping rules because you're scared of God, but your affections will. You'll actually love God and love His Word. That's what happens when you get saved. So, dude, if it hasn't happened, repentance and faith. Would you think about it?
Yeah.
All right. You got a Bible?
Yes, I do.
All right, before you scoop, what are you thinking right now? You got a good poker face. What are you thinking?
Just heavy, intense stuff, but...
It is.
It's good, something to think about. Yeah. See where it goes.
But remember, though, I'm not trying to be a heavy. This is actually good news.
Oh, yeah.
God's going to get you, but He'll save you if you humble yourself. So it's good news. All the other religions say work like crazy and maybe you'll get rewarded. This one says you've just completely blown it. But I'm a good God and I'll save you. And I proved it by dying on a cross for you so that you might be reconciled to God. He saves man. We don't save ourselves. Roman Catholicism teaches you kind of got to save yourself. You got to work really hard, not commit any really big sins, and get last rites before you die. The Bible says repent and trust the Savior, and He'll save you. And He'll make you His creature, and He'll grow you and make you different so that He gets all the credit for saving you, not you. Hey, thanks for being a gentleman.
No problem.
Thanks for not kicking me.
Yeah.
All right, dude?
Sure.
What's your number? Maybe watching on TV. Do you play regularly?
No, I don't play regularly, actually. So.
But you get in once in a while?
We'll see, maybe. You know,
what's your number?
69,
dude. All right, man.
All right.
Go get him.
Thanks.
See you, Kevin.
Hey, what radio station is that?
It's Wretched Radio, dude. If you go to just Google the word Wretched or Wretched Radio or Wretched TV, you'll find us.
Oh, so it's not like, is it broadcast on the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
On stations around the country.
Okay.
We stream it. You can find the whole deal.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, man?
Yeah,
All right.
Have a good one.
See ya. Goodbye, Kevin. Once again, this is one of those deals where you witness to somebody, and you know he's a nice young man, and he's never really heard the gospel before, and you can see in his face he's just, frankly, drinking it in like water. How much is he grasping? I don't know. God'll deal with him. I don't know what's going on. But I got to tell you, when you finish something like that, you just, frankly, all you want to do is pray for them. And just to let you know, too, isn't it funny? We were talking about this and that, and then all of a sudden the conversation started getting into this whole hell business. What radio station is this exactly? And that's good, and that's okay, and that's going to happen in a witness encounter. You can count on that happening, where it maybe starts to get just a little bit on the heavy side, and you might have somebody bail on you. Now, Kevin didn't. He was a gentleman. He gave me some time. But you might just have somebody jump away from you and go, you know what, I'm done with this. Was it last week or the week before that happened? Kid was like, I see where this is going, dude, and I want none of it. You know, I just realized why I wasn't panting on that walk with Kevin. We were going downhill. We're going uphill right now. I would like to beg you, if you've never... Now, this isn't the primary reason that we do this, or anybody that we witness to, so that we can get a buzz out of it, or that we can get a joy out of it. But I got to tell you something. You can go to a witness encounter dragging your heels, and when you're done, you can be clicking your feet. No, wait a second. How does that go? You can be dragging your feet to the witness... I could never be a modern-day evangelical pastor. I can't sling my cliches. You go dragging your feet, and sometimes you come back just clicking your heels. Witnessing to that young man, completely a joy, as he was drinking it in, perhaps for the first time. So find yourself a place where you can do this. It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech on Wretched Radio.
This is not a taunt. It's more like a dare. Don't ask me how that's different than a taunt. This is a double dog dare. Please try not to support preborn.org/wretched and give an ultrasound to a woman who is considering taking the life of her own child for just $28.
When I walked in for the ultrasound and I saw my baby and I heard his heartbeat, my mind changed completely. I couldn't do that to my baby. I decided to keep it.
Oh, sorry. That would be taunting and daring. Would you please consider providing a $28 ultrasound or multiple ultrasounds through preborn.org/wretched?
I know that with support and with God by my side, I'll be able to do this, not just for me, but for my baby.
Preborn.org/wretched. I dare you not to.
Okay, did you know that I could read minds? That's a real thing, not fake news. That is absolutely 100% something that I can do, and I'll prove it to you right now. I know exactly what you're thinking. No joke. You're worried that you accidentally left the oven on. And you're also thinking about how much you wish you could get even more wretched. See, I was right, and you're impressed. So first, a couple of things. You're in luck about the wretched part, but you're on your own about the oven thing. You might actually want to check that. Now, about the wretched thing, you can get even more wretched by watching our daily 30-minute wretched TV show at wretched.org/TV. You'll learn topics like theology, hermeneutics, pneumatology, biblical counseling, Christian parenting, marriage, and even how to turn your oven off. Okay, so you're not going to learn how to turn your oven off, but everything else is true. You can find Wretched on Amazon Prime, Roku, Truly, Amazon Fire TV, or at wretched.org/TV. That's wretched.org/TV for all things Wretched. Wretched.org/TV.
Trust me, you are going to want to call this number, 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE. Why? Because you are going to talk to a very nice representative at MediShare who will share with you the benefits of joining over 400,000 Christians who have shared over $4 billion in medical expenses. This is the alternative perhaps you have been praying for regarding health insurance. This is affordable, biblical health sharing. 1-844-34-BIBLE. The MediShare representative will tell you what you can be saving per month. On average, $500 per month per family. See, I told you you'd want to call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. We are here at Georgia Tech. It's like, oh, good, this dude is walking this way. Oh, I was watching you before. Young man, can I talk to you while you're walking that way?
You know what? You can talk while I'm walking, yeah.
All right. Dude, the haircut. What's up with the mohawk?
Well, not the mohawk.
Why?
It's freaking awesome.
You think it's awesome?
Yeah, it's awesome.
You kind of got curly hair.
I do got curly hair. That's why it's more awesome. Is I can, I don't have to put gel in it or anything. I just kind of can feather it, and it's good to go.
So this is the do that you're styling with?
I'm styling it for now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm keeping it through my fraternity's chartering date.
Aha. So it's a what's the fraternity?
Sigma Pi.
And what type of fraternity is it?
It's a social fraternity.
It's a what?
Social.
What does that mean?
It's not like a honorary professional. It's just guys who have common interests, hang out together.
Huh. Is it a party fraternity?
Not so much. We do have parties. It's not like that emphasis so much, but...
It's not like Animal House.
It's not like Animal House at all.
You know Animal House?
I don't know. Who doesn't know Animal House?
Well, I don't know what they're teaching the kids these days. Good for you. You understand history.
I'm a film buff. I like
movies.
Okay,
that's different. Okay, yeah. So what are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
Material science and engineering.
Material science meaning?
Materials and how to, like, react when put in certain situations.
Keep going. Help me out with that.
I'm only a freshman.
That's all right. Well, you have to have a... What do you want to do with material science?
Hopefully something with NASA, like helping develop materials or going to, like, building the new space shuttles and all that.
Is that right? Who's Werner Von Braun?
Beats me.
Dude! He's, like, one of the famous guys who really helped us get into outer space.
Yeah. Okay.
Why do you want to go there? What do you want to do there?
Experiments. Mess around. I mean, zero gravity has got to be awesome. Beats regular gravity.
So you want to go out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, dude, so here's what I'm noticing with NASA. You tell me if you think I'm right. The NASA program these days seems determined to try to get out there to figure out how we evolved.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
I had noticed that, and it's kind of weird. I mean, I can't just accept that we're here. I'm not personally evolution or creationism. I just feel like it's really a combination of the two. But NASA, being scientists, probably more hell-bent on figuring out that it is evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Than creationism.
So you're kind of a creationist.
I am, but as a loose creationism.
Who do you think the creator is?
God.
Who do you think God is?
I don't know. He's like an entity, almost. I do believe there's a physical God out there. I mean, somewhere in the universe.
Uh-huh.
So I believe there is actually a physical God who can gather materials, like ions and all that, and send them to places, and with that, they can form life forms.
Uh-huh. So does this God of yours have a name? Are you a religious guy?
Not particularly, but right. I just call him God.
Just God?
Yeah.
So where could I learn about this God? Is there a book? Are you a Christian? Bible, Quran, any of that stuff?
Combination. I also like to read religious doctrines.
But you're not a Christian?
No.
How come?
I don't know, just... My mom's Jewish, my dad's Christian. They never really forced religion upon me.
Uh-huh.
I just read the doctrines because I find the old stories interesting.
Okay. So what is the story of Christianity? What does that teach, based on what you've researched?
It's just be a good person, do good unto others, and good stuff will happen to you.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like karma, almost, if you will.
It is not.
Yeah, I think so. I do believe if you
I've
do
read
good
the
stuff,
Bible. It doesn't say that.
It's like an interpretation, almost. Like, you do good stuff to other people, and they're going to want to return the favor, and then you're going to have good things coming your way, which is karma.
Mm-mm. That's not what it teaches. Young man, I beg to differ. Okay.
I haven't read it that closely, apparently.
All right, let me tell you what I think it's about, okay? This is worse than a hazing, potentially. Okay. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Sometimes. I admit that sometimes I don't make the right decisions.
All right. Have you ever told lies in your life?
Yes.
How many do you think?
Too many to count.
All right. A lot of them.
I'm a compulsive liar.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me now?
Nope.
About being a compulsive liar?
I'm
How would somebody
lying.
Know? You know, think about that for a second.
Oh, believe me, it's interesting. Because when I tell people that, they're like, are you lying about that right now? I'm like, no.
I'm not the first. How many things have you stolen in your life?
None.
Don't lie to me.
I've never stolen a thing in my life.
All right, let's try this one. Lusting. How's about that?
Not really.
Dude.
I mean, we're at Georgia Tech. Where's my chance to lust around here?
I don't know. Have you is the question.
Okay. No.
I'm
serious.
You're a guy, right?
Yes.
And you're
telling me you
have never had an impure thought. Now I know you're lying to me.
An impure thought that I've had.
Yeah, huh? Okay, and I want to ask about anything else further, like maybe pornography, looking at dirty pictures, any of that stuff. Okay. So, what are we at, 2 strikes right now?
Yeah.
Toward being a not good person?
Yeah.
Okay, how's about honoring your parents? Did you always do everything you were told as a kid?
Yes.
Dude, cut it out.
I am. I'm serious. They would beat me.
They
threatened to beat me before. And
why would they threaten to beat you? Because you were naughty.
I wasn't naughty. I just...
didn't do what you were told.
I was bending the rules a little bit.
Okay. So, you were like every other kid.
Yeah.
And you didn't do everything you were told, Johnny on the spot, right?
Of course not.
All right. So, here's the question. Christianity. Remember, that's what we're talking about. Let's say you die.
All right.
God judges you. Every thought, every word, every deed. Mm-hmm. Innocent or guilty?
Overall... innocent, but I do make some guilty. There's some guilt in there.
Okay, but it's not an overall kind of thing.
It's not overall guilt.
But if you break a law, then you are guilty, period.
If you break a law, like, numerous times, you break a law once.
You're guilty.
Per se. You're guilty of that law, but I don't think overall, in the grand scheme of things,
well, sure
you're guilty.
You are. Like, for instance, if a guy rapes somebody, he's a rapist. He's a criminal.
Yes.
If you tell a lie, you're a liar.
Yeah.
Steal something, you're a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Lust, you're an adulterer at heart.
Yeah.
Okay, so you'd be guilty.
All right.
Okay, heaven or hell? What would God do with you?
With me?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a good thing to think about. I'd probably say heaven right now because I'm not that awful of a person. I mean, it's little things, but they add up. So it might be hell. I don't know.
But if the judge disagreed and he thought they were big things, you'd be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think?
Right? Yep.
So the Bible says all liars will have their part in a lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
For lying, because it's a big deal to God.
Yep.
All right. So, dude, it doesn't sound good for you.
No, it doesn't.
All right. We were talking about what Christianity is, right? You kind of said it's kind of a karma, do good, and it'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And I was saying, I don't think that's what it is. All right, before you go into your building here, real quick, you've heard this somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
God should give you hell. What has he done so that you can have your sins forgiven? Because this is what Christianity is about.
Jesus died for the sins.
It's about grace. That's what Christianity is about.
Yes.
It's not doing good. We've done bad. We should get punished by God.
Right.
But he died to save us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we'll repent, do you know what that means?
Yeah.
What?
It means feel bad about it. Be sorry.
That's part of it, yeah. And turn from your sins.
Yes.
Okay? You don't become perfect, but you turn from your sins with a new attitude. And you put your trust in Jesus and in him alone.
All right.
The Bible says you do that because he was punished on a cross on your behalf.
Right.
It's like your badness. You're the criminal. It got put on the innocent man. He got punished on your behalf, and all of his goodness can be credited to your account.
Okay.
So that you can be seen as perfect by God because of what Jesus did for you.
Okay.
That's what Christianity is about.
All right.
Not karma. That's kind of like Buddhism and Hinduism
stuff.
And there's some rules that, you know, typically if you behave, life goes better. But that's not karma because God's in control of everything.
Right.
Okay, so my question for you is, have you done that? Have you repented and put your trust in Jesus?
Not in a little while, no.
Ever?
I have before. I haven't done it in a while. I haven't gone to church or anything like that in a good bit. But I used to.
Jesus said that unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God.
Okay.
It's a radical thing when you realize, yikes, I am not a good guy at all.
Wow.
If the books were open on my life, boo.
Yeah.
It would be a bad day for me in court with God. And you humble yourself, apologize, and you turn from your sins and you put your trust in Jesus. It's a radical thing because you have to die to yourself and then he makes you born again. So it's really, it's like, I'm guessing, how old are you?
18.
Have you ever been in a near really bad car accident?
Not that I can remember. I was like 2 years old when it happened.
Yeah. But if you ever have been, you remember, because it's like, whoa, that was like a big deal. Same thing is true with getting saved by God. It's kind of a big deal when you die to yourself and He makes you alive and He changes your attitude and your heart and your desire.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you start liking the things that you never used to like before, like other Christians, reading the Bible. And the sins that you used to love, suddenly I don't want those anymore because He died to save me. It's the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. So I don't know if you're like right with God or not, but something to ponder, because 18, you're a young man and you're thinking these things through, I'm guessing. Yeah. Like, what am I believing? Because you don't believe what your parents believe.
Right.
It doesn't make you that. You have to think it through yourself. So what you just heard is the gospel.
Okay.
I can't club you and make you one.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to chase you into your dorm here. Just think about it, okay?
Okay, I will.
Because, dude, I don't want you to go to hell.
Neither do I. That would suck.
In a very bad way.
Yeah.
And God doesn't want that either.
All right.
The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life." So the offer is open to you, repentance and faith. You got a Bible?
No.
You got one online, though?
My roommate has a Bible, though.
Rock on. Grab that bad boy. Open it up and read the Gospel of John.
Okay.
Can you remember that?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, dude. I'm glad you had a mohawk so we can chat. All right, man. So how are you going to get into your little fraternity deal? Is it going to happen?
Yeah, it's already happening.
But you live in a dorm. This isn't a frat.
I'm a freshman. I'm not allowed to live in the house yet. We don't have one anyway, so.
They don't let you live in the house yet till you're what year?
We don't have a house. We're chartering. We're becoming an official fraternity.
Ah, you're doing it yourselves. All right, man.
Fine, all right, Father.
Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thanks, man.
See you. Goodbye. I'm looking at this kid, and who knows, maybe the sun was in his eyes even though we're standing in the shade, but they seem to be a little on the watery side. So that's witnessing. Sometimes you're going to get some crabby guys. Sometimes you're going to get some open guys. We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday, and until tomorrow, go serve your king.